I did not get a chance to listen to last Sunday's teaching. Did hear Wednesday night and some of Thursday night. So in regards to what Tim had taught. And so we did have a discussion, but there's some things that you guys have been learning and going through. And I appreciate the time we had with Pastor Brian. And it was like a whole month. And so that's, appreciate that. And I think Gary had made some mention also that, you know, there's no reason to overthink a lot of things when it comes to diving in and trying to find all your iniquities and sins. Why don't we just seek the Lord and let Him reveal all things to us, right? And that's the best way to go through this journey, is if the Lord reveals something to you, it's yours. If He doesn't, then it's just written. And then you're going to believe in what's written until what happens? The Lord reveals it for you. Because you can't walk in it anyway. You can try to walk in something that's been written, but you can't always succeed, can you? What do you need? You need a touch from God just to kind of make that thing all work and come together anyway. So where's the frustration come from? Expectations of what?
That you put on yourself.
The flesh, right? Yes, you put it on yourself. Basically, we have the greatest book ever that can be our greatest enemy. Right? The Bible. Yeah, I said it. The Bible can be your greatest enemy. Why? Because the way you perceive it through the flesh, you take it, manipulate it, make it your own according to the lust of the flesh, and then God, why isn't this working? Yeah, beat you up, all right. The Bible according to you, huh? Boy, oh boy, how many Bibles do we have in this world? Well, we have the one true Bible. It's kind of like what Paul says about God. There's one true God. There's not really other gods. Yet there are, but there's not. Well, there's one true word of God, and then there's many other words of God, which are not really words of God, but yet they are. They're just, what?
Defiled.
So what am I trying to say? Let's don't do that. How about that? Everybody say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to follow the leading of the Lord. There we go. As we call it, the cloud of witness. We'll just follow that and join in with that. And so I'm going to continue. Now, I feel like, especially with Pastor Brian preaching and others and being gone and so forth, I want to teach today and exhort you on some things, encourage you, but also tomorrow night and Wednesday night, I want to stay very close to a thought that I want to get into that's very important for our church. And here's what I need you not to do is, how many has, you know, been taught the word faith your whole life? Like, that's isn't that like the core of being a believer and a Christian is faith. You know, the thing is if I ask you what that is, there could be many answers, but then there's some real in-depth things on faith that God wants to put in our hearts. And it's going to be a whole lot simpler than how our minds overthink things. I don't want to super spiritualize something that God said, I could make it so simple that you could just live by it. And that's what we want to walk in. But what I want to do is I actually want to start back in the chapter I was reading from in 2 Corinthians 5. And I want to read from that. And that would be 2 Corinthians 5. And actually verse 4, the last verse. Everybody remember that? And I'm going to read that, and I need to go through it and just remind you of this thought that I'm going after here today, okay? And like I said, I talked to Tim, and there's some good things we talked about not walking by the flesh, believing in God, all of that actually is ties in very well with what we're doing. But how many remember verse 18? While we look not at the things which are seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How many remember the approach that I said that Paul was making here? Yes, his revelation is all from heaven, but he is showing you and us and the church how to walk in the earth and be spiritual. Remember that? So, you have to be able to be okay with hearing a word that is looking from an earthly body. So if you are in an earthly body, can you see eternity? Remember, we visited that, right? Can you? No. No, you know what you see? Each other. And this building. And your cars. And so why is it so easy to get caught up in the things of life? Because you see them. And you can grab a hold of them. And you can even change them. And so we vest our walk in life many times upon appearance, don't we? Oh, yeah. Everything is by appearance. Everything catches your attention. And here Paul is saying, we don't look at that. You know why? Because what does temporal mean? Keith said it, temporary. It doesn't last. It's transient, which means, is that how you say that word? Transient. It doesn't last. It goes away. So here's what I want to ask you. If you are looking at things that continually perish, is that the eyes that God wants us to have? He wants you to be able to look past everything that perishes into things that don't. Oh, man, now we're talking. That's a walking by faith. That's a walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, is when you have eyes that can see past the things that fall and are corruptible. So if you sin and have sin in you today, what do you need somebody to come and do for you? You need somebody to come and not only forgive your sins, you need somebody to come and look past your sin and see who you are in eternity. That's what you need. That's what Jesus did. While you were yet sinners, what? Christ died. Wait a second. How did Christ know that you would not remain a sinner? Because he could see past your sin and past the moment where he had not even died yet. He could see past all that. And he could say, I know what I'm here for. And I know what will happen to you when I accomplish this. And I know what you will be in eternity. So I tell you what, I'm going to act according as if I'm acting on eternity, not the flesh. Because here's what Jesus could have done. He gets to the earth and he looks around and he goes, God, are you serious right now? Like, this is what I came for? No, he didn't do that, did he? Because he had already been to eternity. And he had already sat with you in eternity. And he already talked to your new being. And he already sat there and counseled in the heavenly place and said, yeah, I'll be back. I got to go back in time and make all this come to pass. So I'm going to go die.
Except for the joy set before him.
There you go. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The joy was knowing that his work would be accomplished. Go ahead, James. You just raising your hand or you wanting to talk?
Everything Christ did.
James said, was for us. There's a lot of truth to that. But then there's other things you could say that to as well. It's beautiful. It's the Lord knew everything ahead of time. So when Paul comes along and writes this, while we look not at things which are temporal, I mean, come on, everybody. Let's get with the Jesus program and say, how did Jesus look at things? How did Paul look at things? Well, he looked at things which are eternal. And you say, I haven't seen those things. Now, here's the common answer I get. Now, everybody bear with me, because I gotta stand up and stand against this thought that opposes us continually. I say, do you have faith, or do you have the Spirit, or can you walk in the Spirit? And you say, well, I haven't seen it. What does that even mean? Well, what you're meaning is, I haven't had a dream or vision about it, and so I'm not even sure that it's really true. And I go, well, hold on. Did we forget that the Word of God that came from heaven is Spirit, and when He placed it in your heart and caused you to seek the Lord, is that not a walking in the Spirit? Because you're being led by the Spirit to seek the Lord, are you not? Everybody, bear with me. Are you or not? Or are you still over on the flesh side? No, I just study it out just because I like it. It interests me. No, God dropped a word in your heart and you have pursued God because God dropped His Spirit in you. And that's why you pursue God. Go ahead, Brad. Yes. Yes, which we're going to keep reading and see that Brad said that's the earnest of the Spirit. Okay, let's keep reading, because I want to get to this very important part that I left off with last time, but I wanted to make sure we just followed up. We look at the things which are spirit. Verse 1 in chapter 5 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Everybody, what is the earthly house? ESV calls it tent. It's a body, right? It's an earthly house, and so it's an earthly body. So while you live in an earthly body, well, there's that. You don't look at things which are seen according to the earthly body. You're looking for a new body, a heavenly body. And this is what we say, well, I haven't seen that heavenly body. You may not, but we're about to find out the answer to that. Okay, right here. Keep reading. "For in this we groan in this body, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this earthly body do groan, being burdened." I covered all this in the last teaching, okay? So if you need to catch up, go listen to that. "Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality, death, might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for this selfsame thing is God." Now what is that? Remember I brought out the word wrought is not a common word, is it? What's it mean? Prepared. He that has prepared us for all of this is God. Now how did God prepare you to cry out for a new body? Well, we already answered it. The next verses is going to tell us it's the Spirit that He put in us, right? So He prepared us and given us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, I've heard James say this, the earnest means a down payment. I've heard James say that. Well, that's a common thought. The earnest of the Spirit is like a down payment. Does everybody already know that? Have you thought about it? Okay, I need you to think about it again. Because I need a higher thought in this conversation to arise within our church. I know the example of when you go to buy a house, there's earnest money involved, right? What does that mean? It's a commitment. There's an oath made. There's a covenant made. There's a guarantee made. There is a, I'm buying this house. And the owner says, I'm giving it to you for this. We just made a purchase. Well, when it comes to the Spirit, God said, I tell you what, you don't have to buy nothing. I'm just going to give you the earnest. I'm going to guarantee with a promise and a pledge and an oath that I'm going to give you a brand new house. That house you live in right now is not the house you will end up with. Now remember, he's talking to people who live in the earth. In the earth, we need hope. We need a pledge from God. We need a guarantee that tells us, I will give you everything I promised. I'm telling you, we need that as people. Would you agree? You know why? Because we look at things in the flesh so much that we forget God's promises. But God said, I'll tell you how you're not going to forget. I'm going to put my Spirit in you. And it may not be the fullness in your consciousness, but it's enough to let you know that I have guaranteed this new body is on its way. But I need something from you. And that's where he starts teaching us how to be obedient, how to be faithful, and how to be fervent in the things of God. He starts by God being the original giver. How many have ever said, well, I believe in God. Where did you get that from? Where? It sure didn't come from the preacher. It didn't come from the preacher. It came from God, who then, by his Spirit, imparted his breath or his word into you and caused a belief to arise. And this is back to what you were saying, Tim. It's all done by God. It's to think that we had anything to do with anything would be crazy or nonsense. It would just be nonsense. Without God's help and the work of the Spirit, we would not even be able to believe in the Lord. How do I know that's true? I know it's true because the carnal mind is an enemy against God. And also, he that is spiritual can see spiritual things, but he that is of the flesh judges after the flesh. So how could we? This is the craziest thing. You take all the intellects in the world, and sometimes we call them scholars. I do believe there are very good scholars in the world. I don't argue with all of that. But the world itself, in this mindset, opposes the mind of God because of the intellect, Tim, or the riches that work in the mind. Because Paul said it. Which part?
Chapter 1 and chapter 2, he dealt with all that, the wisdom of the world.
The wisdom of the world, right? And even Paul, in all his teachings in Philippians 3, made this comment. Everything I've received about God, I count it as dung. It's garbage. One comment says rubbish. Everything that I do out of my own study is dung, he says. I need what? I need the Spirit of God to enter me and create a faith in me that's going to cause me to believe in God like I've never believed. That is the only way we will serve God. And so this idea here is, over the times that we've been teaching, and there's a corporate thing on this, is it is true how much we need God. Man, that is an absolute revelation. But how does that work? Where does it come from? We know this, okay? Let me finish reading the next verse because it's important, the next two. So he gave us the earnest of the Spirit. Verse 6 says, therefore we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body of flesh, the earthly body, we're absent from the Lord. Now, note, that's a big statement. And the idea could come, yeah, but you guys always say that you're never away from God. You're always walking in the Spirit. But look, Paul is discerning something for us. If you're in the flesh, you're absent from the Lord. You're away from the Lord. Why do you think the carnal mind opposes God? Because God is not present. So you're free to do whatever you want in the world. That's a bad deal. Because how many have seen the mind of man is bad? Bad. Well, what about if I'm home in the body, in the flesh, I'm absent from the Lord? That's kind of a thought that we need to deal with. You need to take this serious. That he's dealing with something here. So basically, he's going on to say, verse 7, if I'm absent from the Lord, then what do I need? Verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's my answer. While I'm absent from the Lord, I need God to bring his heaven to me. That's faith. I need a word from God to put in my heart so I can walk by faith as if God is still present. In other words, guys, if I was to say, how am I supposed to walk after eternal things? How am I supposed to do that? By faith. By faith. Now listen, everybody. I said it earlier. We think we know faith. But how many of you, by faith, have left everything in the earth because you believe God so much that you'd forsake everything in the earth? That's some faith right there. Why did Paul always refer back to Abraham, Tim?
Because he did that very thing.
Because that was a man who knew faith. Why did Jesus raise up the apostles for one thing and one thing only? To lay down your life and have faith towards God. And here's the thing. If you're going to succeed in the flesh, you need faith. Not just a casual word, everybody. A faith that is so alive in you that God himself is the one that inspired it. Because how many of you have faith in the chair you're sitting in right now? You do, don't you? Come on. What, you just come in here, you don't even think that them legs won't fail. It doesn't even cross your mind, does it? Yeah. We think that this floor will not fall out from underneath us, nor this roof in this, dear God. Right? We don't even think like that. We have faith in this world, don't we? And we even put faith in the things that we build. We build them and we put faith in them. Unless, of course, you build it and you go, Sometimes you don't, right? What about driving down the road? Do you have faith in everybody around you? Well, you say no, but you sure get on the road because you ain't staying home. You say, well, I have to have faith. I'm forced to have faith that somebody will not crash into me. You drive a UPS truck, man. You're everywhere all day, all the time. You have to have a little bit of hope that somebody's not going to crash into you, right? Talking to Lawrence. Okay, I brought all that up is because I show how easy it is to not even think about believing in something. And in our world, we can believe in things so quickly. But what I want to address here is this idea of faith. Notice how after the next verse it says, We are confident. Now, he just said we walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident now. Why are we confident? Because of faith. Now we got to ask the question. Somebody give me an actual definition of faith. Don't tell me what it does. Tell me what it is. And then use the scripture to define it.
Trusting the Lord, and trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding.
Okay. So Proverbs 6, is that 3 and 5 and 6 is trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? But that's trust. Is that faith? Okay. She believes it is. See, I'm provoking you. Well, then why would God divide it as and call it trust? Why wouldn't he just call it faith? Or is it the same word? Well, it's a little test. That's all this is. Everybody, I'm just provoking everybody in the room. See, somebody, we could quote Hebrews 11 and 1 and say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So is that a definition of faith is what I'm asking?
Is it
a knowing?
Yeah, it's a knowing. You know that Abraham knew.
Like Abraham knew?
Yeah, when God told him, okay, I want you to take some
sacrifice. So you know what? What do you know? Okay, you don't have to worry, you know. But I'm still trying to find out what do you know? Somebody tell me.
The word of God. The commandment of God.
The word of God. That you know the commandment of God. The word of God. What else?
You're believing the prophecy, you're believing.
Believing.
Spoken to you.
That's too simple.
That's usually the way it is.
Oh. There you go. See, so I'm exercising this a little bit just to say, is it possible that we walk around going, I have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith? Do we actually know when faith is working in us? Have you examined your own heart and know when your faith is in action? This is the provoking. Now, the answers weren't really the point. Dave, you were going to say something? Okay, good. So we're hitting all around this. That's good. But see, trust is built upon faith. You wouldn't have trust if you didn't have faith, right? But faith comes first. That's the key. Faith comes under a promise of the word of the Lord. Okay, cool. Keith said, yes. So this is an area, Keith, we want to talk about a little bit tomorrow night as well, is Hebrews 11 teaches us how that works, right? But Keith talked about they're acting on a promise here. And this is the cool part that I want you to examine. We know Romans, Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God, right? So when the word of God is spoken into you, what is created in you? Faith. Faith, right? Now, you said it's believing, which I love too. Built upon the promise of that word. Now, here's the thing. In the principal doctrines of Christ, what is the second one mentioned? You have repentance from dead works and faith. Toward God. So faith is not to you. It's not to someone else. It is to God. So now imagine this. Turn to, real quick, and we may come back to Corinthians, but turn to a famous scripture everybody knows in Hebrews 11, 6. Everybody know it? You could quote it, couldn't you? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is it up there? You see it? Does everybody see it? Wait now. For he that comes to God, this is faith toward God. When you present yourself to God, you must do what? Oh, this is big. Believe that he is. Now, he's describing faith right here in such a way that faith, remember, this is how you walk in flesh and yet walk in the Spirit at the same time. Faith has to be at work. This word of the Spirit that has come and entered you has created a belief in God that you trust everything he says. Now think about this. If you, it's not just that everybody has faith. That's not true. Faith can only be given to you when God himself talks to you. It creates faith, and that faith is a belief in God to such a high level that God cannot lie, he cannot fail, he will not fail in what he says. That's what made those writers in, or those people in Hebrews, Keith just talked about, so godly and powerful. And Abraham, it says, believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Wait, it wasn't what he did? No, he believed God and acted on it. And that's these answers are coming together, but I was provoking everybody. Listen, I remember saying one time when we were teaching years back, there was the teaching on the is, as is. And when it came to faith, that was just, everybody had a definition of faith. And I remember one day I talked about believing, or somebody was talking about believing. I can't say it was myself, but somebody called faith a believing in God. Another person speaks up, I'll never forget this, because I see their face. And they said, oh, that's what we used to believe in the old church. Faith was believing. That's too, you need a spiritual understanding of what faith is. Well, let me ask you a question. If you were to stand before Abraham himself and said, what was your faith? He said, I believed God would not lie to me. I believed God would not fail me. When he said he would do it, you brought up Abraham took his son to be sacrificed. Come on, everybody. That is a faith in God. Why do you think Abraham was called his friend? Because God looked upon that man and said, not only can he trust me, I can trust him. He believes everything I say. Everything. And here's what I'm after. When the rubber meets the road, I have to ask this question. Do we really believe everything God says? Or in the midst of looking at things which disappear and dissolve, I look at my earthly life and I go, man, I wish I could be more fervent. I wish I could be this, and I wish I could know the word more, and I wish I could do this, but this war is fighting in me. At that moment, do you think you're believing God? Do you think you're looking at the things which are eternal? Or are you looking at the things which are temporary? See, I'm saying this. Imagine a church of believers who, when God spoke up by the word of the Lord, you say, I'll believe that till I die. And everything that I set my path toward is for that to come to pass. Everything. You know why people fell? Because they don't walk the path toward what God has spoken. It's like the straight and narrow becomes some windy road. Well, I kind of wanted to stop over here for a moment. Why? Well, because something caught my attention and I love it. Well, Jesus said straight and narrow, hello, and few find it. Why? Because men's deeds are evil, Keith, and they love evil more than righteousness. That's why they don't run to the light, Jesus said. They run away from the light. Look, every one of us in this room have evil deeds. True or not? But here's my question to you. Is that you? Is that who God called you to be? No. What did he call you to be? Let's go back to the first verse. You don't have to change. I'm saying let's remember what we started reading in Corinthians 5. The earthly tabernacle will be put off. And Megan, what's going to be put on? You mean the building of God that God himself by his spiritual hand makes and creates by every word he speaks? Yeah. Now, you say, well, I don't know if I even have the Spirit sometimes. Matter of fact, where was that verse that you read to me this morning, Naomi? Romans 8, 9. Put that up. Look, let's visit this verse. Because this will deceive a lot of people. You there? What's it say, Tim? We'll get a microphone. Read that for me.
But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit.
Hold on, man. Hold on. I know everybody's wanting to keep reading. Well, just read the whole thing so we can satisfy that longing in everybody's heart to finish the verse.
But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Has anybody ever considered that? Like, am I? Like, he's talking to me? Or do you say, no, I have a Spirit. It's cool. I'm good. Well, there is a need to examine this verse. I mean, there's a whole context he's reading. I just pulled one verse out of this. But how could a man say, look at it, everybody. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Well, I know there's an if, but I gotta address this. You are not in the flesh. What does that mean according to what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 that we just read? Or 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Is this saying the same thing? It's because you're not in the flesh because you don't look at the flesh. You don't follow the flesh. You don't give yourself to it. You say, well, hold on, everybody. Back up. Then how am I supposed to live in this world? You tell me not to work. Tell me not to eat. What? Just go pick any random car and buy it? And that's it? No, everybody's got style. Everybody's got, color. And everybody wants it, right? Jesus said, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. Okay, there is a moment in time where you give your life to the flesh because you are flesh. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. In other words, live your life in the flesh. But just know one thing. It ain't going with you. So if you put your confidence in it and you believe in it more than you believe in God, what's going to happen to you? You're going to perish with it because it's going away. How many got that part understood? You're going away in the earthly body. So what part are we learning to walk in? The Spirit. So you are not in the flesh. No wonder Paul could say that. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If I have given you the earnest of the Spirit, then you are in the Spirit. Is that clear? Like, what part of that is not clear? If I have the earnest of the Spirit working in me, and like I said, it may not be the fullness of heaven, but it is a part of heaven, and I'm going to live by that. And in that earnest of the Spirit, I'm going to walk in the Spirit.
When you say earnest, what does that mean?
Like I said, it's a part. It's like, it's a promise from God. He says, I'm going to speak my Spirit into you, and I'm going to put my word in you. And you know what? There's a lot of heaven you won't understand. But here's a little part of heaven. It's in you. It's a measure, right? A measure of faith. And so you have this measure, this part that is in you, and God says, that's enough to get you started. Now let's go. And so you use that to believe in God. Everybody hear that? What do I use to believe in God? The part that God just put in me. So I'm not in the flesh, am I? Are you in the flesh? No, you're in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ abides in you. Is that not what it says? If any, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If the Spirit of God's in you, He's put the earnest of His Word in you, then guess what? You're in the Spirit. I mean, yeah, but you don't see me when I'm at home. Thank God. Thank God. I don't want to see all that. Yeah, I get the things at home. Look, I don't want to go there. How does God want me to see you? See, you're blessed that I don't see you at home. You're blessed. And you're blessed that God has taught us not to judge after the flesh, because that'd be the end of it. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
When you look at Apostle Paul and how he handled his churches, even when dealing with the weakness of flesh and sin and things, he never, ever confessed to them, you're not in the Spirit.
Yeah.
He always made sure that they knew that they were born and begotten after the Spirit. That's what you're doing here with us.
Yeah.
Our confession is that we are not of flesh, we're of the Spirit.
Yeah, right on, man. And this idea should be so strong in your heart. Do I have faith? Do I have faith? That question. Yes. Yes, you have faith. Yes. Yes. So what do you walk by? Faith. But listen, everybody. You say, well, faith can move mountains. Or faith starts out as a grain of mustard seed, right? And grows into a big tree. Yes, there's progression in learning faith. But hear me when I say, did Abraham believe God? He didn't even have Jesus manifested yet, everybody. And he believed God. You talked about it some, right, while I was gone? A little bit about Abraham? And there's this ability in faith that can see things as that is not, as though it is. Romans 4, right? Therefore, what is the power of walking by faith? It's this supernatural ability to believe God's word and not look and judge by everything around you. That's temporary. Well, I didn't see it in the Spirit like a dream or vision. I know. I've heard it. I've been opposed by it hundreds of times. People opposing, even in conversation, your thoughts will try to betray you and say, I didn't dream it. I didn't have an experience like John in the book of Revelation where he was caught up to heaven. I get it. I get it. I get it. But hear me now. Did God put a word in your heart? What, are we not calling that God anymore? That's God. That's Christ come down and dwelling in an earthly tabernacle and say, now let me show you how to believe God greater and greater. So, in a very beginning thought here of this faith, you got to remember Paul wasn't scared to address living in the earth. He said, look, if I'm in the earthly body, I'm absent from the Lord. But you know what? I have faith, so that makes me with the Lord. That makes me present with the Lord. That means I can now believe in God that my journey will not be in vain. And so is faith a believing? You bet it is. But it's not just a, well, I believe in God. No, it's not like that. It's a, did God say it? Yes. Well, then what's the discussion about? Well, if he said it, it's going to happen. Why are we arguing this? Why are we debating this? If God said it, Marvin, he's not a liar, right? He speaks the truth, right? Who's the liar, Marvin? Wait, who? I can't hear you. Who? The devil. No, he can't tell the truth. So, but God's the originator of truth, right? So we going to walk in the truth today? We going to believe it? Now listen, tomorrow night, Keith started right there. We really do need to dive into the witness of faith in Hebrews 11. And let me tell you, you got to get your life changed on faith. You say, no, I believe in faith. No, hear me. Just bear with me. Tolerate me for 1 second. You need a faith upgrade. There's some secrets of God here that God wants to invest into our people. Secrets. But you will not get there unless faith is causing you to believe in God in such a way. Because when God starts talking, it sounds out there, man. God ain't like, he ain't of the earth. He don't try to be relatable. He just talks like heaven, and faith is going to help us come to it, but you got to believe it. And so we'll dive into that, Keith. That'll be a good discussion there maybe tomorrow night. How many be willing to join in on that and learn some of that?